Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have more to cover since we couldn't get through it all, but I got you the basic bare necessities, I think the nuts and bolts of what we're doing currently to basically go after any public servant who is violating the Constitution. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to visit the website and all of that, but let's get through the initial obligatories. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that talks. We're focused on the solutions. We point to what's going on. We give you all the marketing, and then we have to ask the difficult question, what is it going to take to get you and the rest of America to start taking a stand in demanding that we enforce the Constitution? Now, whether that be by state, by community, locally, or what have you, we need to, and if it has to start with you. And we're going to get into that. And we're going to actually cover the three tools that the Constitution gives you of what you can do in demanding. I mean, the good Lord knew everything that we need, but we'll get into all of that. So let me at least kind of dive forward and try to finish what we didn't get a chance to finish yesterday. Now, again, if you didn't do this, you need to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to our Take Action page. And right there at the very top, we have a link to the petition on Bob Schultz's OccupyTheConstitution.org, as well as it's a subdomain of his We the People Foundation. Now, if you know anyone in Washington, please, Washington State, not D.C., please send them the link to this petition and tell them they need to sign it. Now, if you live in a state where your governor, mayor, or any public servant has really put you in harm's way, they're violating the Constitution. We've gotten into this before per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, as we have clearly educated you on this over the past year. And so if they're not stepping up to protect you and they're actually putting you in harm's way, then why don't you reach out to us so that we can generate petitions for you? We need petitions for every governor, mayor, judge, and etc. Judges that are deliberately putting the Constitution aside and allowing rebellion against the Constitution to move forward, they're done. All of these public servants are done as far as we're concerned. So what we also need is we need to get enough citizens all on board so that we can succeed. And so I think you're going to start recognizing that in the petition process, we need to at least get to critical mass, because at that point, we should be able to start penetrating at least the news and the word of mouth and so forth. Because I think in the state of Washington, if I remember correctly, I think Bob Schultz was hoping that we would have possibly, I think, 45,000 signatures. That's all we need. There's petitions out there where we have 100,000 signatures already. And as a matter of fact, I think Governor Kate Brown, they've come close. They had well over 100,000 for recalling her. Folks, this is not a recall petition. This is a petition by citizens, a First Amendment petition. This is this is not a ballot or initiative type of petition. This is your First Amendment right to demand government redress your grievances. And they have an obligation to reply. And they have to give you a reasonable resolution within the boundaries of the Constitution. And I'm telling you what, the Constitution, their hands are tied When you read section 3, and we go through this and we'll go through it again. When you read section 3 of the 14th Amendment, their hands are tied. So this is why we need to get as many people on board. So maybe now's a good time for me to plug that old concept. We need you to help get this content, this message of this show, out to your friends to say, hey, you really want to get involved in what the heck's going on? These guys have been talking about it, and now they've actually got petitions for you. We're now going to start working with you so that we'll get into the petitions as well, what some of the things you need to petition, and so we'll get into all of that. But bottom line, we need you to help carry this message out so that more people get it, they understand. I mean, I can't imagine how anybody can sleep at night knowing that we're in the throes of losing our constitutional republic, our government, and everything else. It's being ripped away from us. How is it that you sleep at night? I want you to understand this. First and foremost, as I've been telling you, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is the supreme law of the land. I am telling you that the good Lord knew everything that we needed to know. That's why he gave us that. That's why he gave us the First Amendment petition. That's why these tools actually exist within our Constitution, so that we would have the power to be able to fight the tyranny, because only he knew what we were going to be facing. And I've said this so many times before. So let me just amplify a little bit more and the importance of the supreme law of the land, and more importantly, Section 3, because Section 3 is the eligibility disqualifier. This thing basically establishes that if you violate your oath of office, you're no longer eligible. You have disqualified yourself. Any public servant, this even means judges. When judges throw out the Constitution, when they do not recognize the Constitution, and they basically try to force down these jurisdictions of corporate laws and admiralty laws, they are obligated. And as a matter of fact, a First Amendment petition has no business going into court. I'm telling you right now, a First Amendment petition is we the people taking a stand. And if government does not do what they need to do, and folks, this is the most important election. And when I say election, not with the ballots, with demanding that your public servants actually be removed, that the Constitution be enforced. This is something that we cannot trifle with, and I'm telling you, it is something that they can't trifle with as well, because as we start pointing these petitions out to Secretary of State, as we start pointing these petitions to, you know, force the disqualification and removal of all of these politicians and public servants, judges, and alike, either these secretaries of state, these people who have the responsibility of executing the law, if they don't do it, then they will be susceptible to the same thing. Because Section 3 is about supporting the Constitution. And when you identify that we've got public servants that haven't supported the Constitution, and then you go to the public servant who has the responsibility, cognizance over this, and they refuse to support the Constitution, then we are in an all-out rebellion by our leaders regarding the Constitution, and we need to do what is necessary. We need to basically tell them, okay, then we're going to have you removed. While we still have Trump, let me just say this loud and clear right now. While we still have Trump in office, you can appeal to the White House. Send them the link. Appeal to them. I mean, I'm only one voice, but if everybody took a little bit of time tonight and went to the whitehouse.gov and you actually go to contact them, there's this little message that you can send them. Send them the message that why aren't you using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to get rid of all of these people at the state level, city level, and even in Congress that are violating their oath of office? Wake up. Use the Constitution. I mean, be as respectful as you possibly can. But the wake-up call has to go, and it has to get out to Trump. I'm just telling you that we have to put the pressure on. There is no middle ground. And due to the fact that everyone that I have talked to, now I just want to be clear, people that really understand the Constitution really well, so I'm saying everyone, that's capital E, everyone I have talked to is and has been unaware of Section 3 regarding removal of these public servants in the Constitution. They have no idea that this even existed. And so that's an indictment. I mean, even with the people that were, because what happened? You go read it, and then your eyes will gloss over and go, what did that just say? You actually have to do the research to actually figure this out. It's not rocket science. It's just clumsily worded. And so that's why in the article that I wrote, I literally restate it in, I think, and I hope, in a form of plain English that allows you to understand what the heck Section 3 is really saying. And it's saying exactly what I'm telling you. If you read the debates, they don't talk so cumbersomely, and they don't talk with such difficult vernacular in the debates, but somehow the legalese has made it a little easy for us and for them to obscure. And this is why we're suffering, because I don't know any good red-blooded American. Well, I'll stop myself right there. We got these two promos. We will be right back, and we'll be getting into all the details of these tools that you have. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so as I was just saying, there is no middle ground. And due to the fact that everyone, I'm going to reemphasize this, everyone that I've talked to, constitutionally smart or not, they've been unaware of the fact that this even exists in the Constitution, Section 3 specifically. And so this is why this hasn't been enforced for well over a century. Folks, the applicability of this was not limited to the Civil War. Everybody understands that Section 3 and the 14th Amendment was really focused on the Civil War. That's why people are convincing you, or they're using it as a defense to obfuscate what the truth is, that that's just an old, you know, thing. That was all applicable to this. No, read my article. I'm very clear on this, that the language in the House basically stated that Section 3 was to keep those who supported the late rebellion. The language was very specific to the Civil War. The Senate changed this to guarantee and to ensure that all of the future, I'll just say all the new public servants going into the future, if they supported rebellion against the Constitution, then they have violated their oath, they've committed moral perjury, and must be removed. The intent was to put teeth in the enforcement of the oath of office. If not, it's basically, you know, we might as well just get rid of it, because there is nothing else in the Constitution, because honor means nothing to these folks anymore. A person's integrity is just shot. Their integrity is how well they can do their agenda and do their job and do what they're told instead of doing the right thing. That's why we've got all these politicians that are stabbing us in the back while they're smiling in our face. I am here to tell you that we have everything we need. And basically, the language of this is really clear, but it's not as clear as it should be. So I'll just kind of give you the summary. No person, this is what Section 3 really is stating, no person shall be a public servant and having taken an oath and then violates that oath by violating the Constitution in any fashion or form, or give aid and or comfort to those who are violating the Constitution, are no longer eligible at that point in time to be in public service, and they are no longer eligible for the rest of their life unless 2/3 of both houses of Congress vote to remove this banishment, this disability is what they called it. So does that make sense now? That means that if you've taken an oath, you have no latitude, because you've taken an oath to do one thing, to support the Constitution. And if you stand idly by and do nothing, oh, well, I didn't commit an act of, you know, what do they call that? There's overt and covert, right? And so I didn't actually, an act of commission and omission. Well, I didn't make an act of commission and violate. You are obligated to support, every public servant and judge is obligated to support the Constitution. Therefore, even an act of omission, oh, well, I didn't do anything. I just stood here. I sat on my hands. I, you know, spoke to. No. If you have the power to do something, and in very specific case here with Inslee, as well as with Mayor Durkin, Inslee knows and is responsible for enforcing the laws, and Durkin violated the Washington State Constitution and the RCWs by giving aid and comfort and insurgents, basically supporting insurgents. She's committed a felony, and because Inslee is the governor, he is responsible. He's the top cop. He's the guy that's supposed to be enforcing. He should have called upon the law enforcement, the state troopers, to go and arrest her, to basically have her charged. The state attorney general, that piece of Ferguson, I don't want to say those types of words. Anyway, Ferguson should be trying her, but he too is committing violations against the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, Inslee should have removed him. There is a pile of evidence, but what we want to do is we want to start turning the tables. We want to start pointing out the one thing. If you want to create the laundry list on Inslee, by all means, go at it. Or on your governor of Gavin Newsom or Kate Brown or any of these communist governors or any of these other communist leaders at any level, Congress and below, and even in the court systems, you got a judge that has been deliberately, like, was it Navarone or whatever, the gal that was overseeing the Bundy trial? I am telling you, folks, We need to go after these violators of the Constitution who have taken an oath and hold them accountable to the Constitution, period. Really, I can't emphasize this enough. So this is why we must begin exercising our First Amendment right to petition for the following. Basically, your petition needs to go and demand the removal of all public servants who have violated their oath. Now, you can make it generic like that, but I honestly believe that you have to tailor each of your petitions in a fashion the way Bob kind of tailored this petition to going after Inslee and Durkin together. Now, what you can do is you can work with us, get with Bob Schultz at the We the People Foundation, join the group. I don't know if there's a cost, but it's a great organization, and he's at the tip of the spear of all of this. The same thing with John Duresh and the National Liberty Alliance, and we're going to be getting into that. We're going to start working with them to hopefully, within the next month or two, we will be calling and I pointing to the convening of a common law grand jury. So in other words, here's some of the things you need to be petitioning for. You need to be petitioning to your county commissioners, to the Secretary of State, all who have violated their oath of office and are no longer eligible. She has the power, or they have the power to, because in Washington State it's a she, but they have the power to actually remove these people and take them off of the ballot. The next thing you need to be demanding in a petition, you need to petition your sheriff, you need to petition your county commissioners, those in power, to convene common law grand juries to do the following. Now, pay attention, okay? I don't want to gloss over this. So there's a few things that we need to petition that they do. First and foremost, you need to petition that they declare all public servants and judges who have violated their oath of office that are obligated to support the Constitution and failed to do so when it came to, you know, when the matter came up and they were in the position to enforce the Constitution and support it and did not, like Inslee, they are to be removed and banned for life. So you have to, one, demand with a petition that your sheriff and or your county commissioners do this. Next, the other thing you need to petition for is to declare all of those who have caused harm to be tried for their crimes and be held financially accountable. So Mayor Durkin and the City Council of Seattle, the fact that all those businesses got damaged and the fact that they were culpable, they've got blood on their hands. They were the ones that supported this rebellion, and they need to be financially accountable. And as a matter of fact, I think we need to actually ensure, because we need to be very clear that we want our laws enforced. I'm going to take a quick break, take an aside here is what I mean. And I want to tell you, I'm working with, and as a matter of fact, I've been on her show, Kim Kennedy. She was We Fight for Your Liberties, WFYL. Anyway, I was on her show a few years back, and she's basically going down this new path. And one of the things she's doing just to kind of help keep, you know, food on the table and a roof over her head, is she's doing Lyft part-time, taking people, you know, picking them up and driving them around. Well, she actually picked up somebody. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand the magnitude of how police in these large metropolises are not enforcing crime. And so this is actually happening not just in these large blue cities. This is happening in red counties and red cities as well. So you need to start demanding the enforcement of the laws. But let me tell you what happened. This ride, you know, almost when the person got, you know, it was a 10-minute ride. This person, Kim picked up this person, female, and about halfway, or not halfway, just a minute or two away from the destination, the person started going ballistic and, you know, started just going, I mean, literally, I don't know what to say other than they were just in this, you know, fit of violent emotional rage. and they were a leftist, and bottom line, they damaged her car. This person, instead of going out the door, they kicked the back window out of her car, left the car that way. There's blood and DNA and all sorts of evidence inside her car. She wants to prosecute this person for damaging her car, and the police refused to investigate. The police are doing nothing to help her, you know, even go after and recoup some of the damages and so forth. And she's left holding the bag. And I don't believe that her insurance company, because it's a Lyft, she has to have a special type of insurance for things that happen while you're doing that. So she's out, you know, she's responsible financially for all this stuff. And I'm going, oh my gosh, my friends will be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So actually, I don't have profound knowledge on whether she had insurance or not, but I just know that she can't get her pound of flesh out of that criminal, out of that lunatic that has did this damage. I mean, she couldn't use her car. I mean, if anybody that's gone through an accident, and I just got T-boned by I won't get into the details, but I just recently got T-boned, and if when somebody hits you and you're not even at fault, you still have to deal with the inconveniences of not having your vehicle. You still have to deal with, you know, the administrative duties. And so how is it that you get recouped? You actually have to pursue the insurance company for a loss of your, for, you know, charge them for your time and wages. And so I truly believe that if we start doing that, you know, because insurance companies are doing everything they can to make sure that they, you know, pass the burden and cost on to you. Well, if insurance companies do that, but rental car companies have all these fees and fines if you have an accident with their vehicle, oh, well, because, you know, they have to actually take the vehicle out of the fleet. They actually have to, you know, spend time and labor for them to deal with the, you know, the damages that you caused. Well, if they can do it, why can't you do that? And as a matter of fact, I believe, unfortunately, in this type of thing, there is precedence with because the fact that rental car companies let you do this. Let me get out of this rat hole. The whole point is that we need to declare those who have caused harm to be tried for their crimes and to be held financially accountable. So whoever has ordered the police not to engage, not to enforce every law on the books, and they're actually defunding the police and these laws are being violated, those people who are voting to defund police and not enforce the laws, they must be held accountable. They're actually committing rebellion against the Constitution and our government. They have a responsibility to protect life and property. They don't have a responsibility to indoctrinate your kids into their religious doctrines, such as secularism, evolution, and all of these other things. They don't have that responsibility. And we have to start making this message very clear. This is why we have to make these grand juries declare those who have caused harm. I'm repeating this again. Those who have caused harm to be tried for their crimes and to be held financially accountable and responsible. Even if they can't pay it, they will have this debt over their heads for the rest of their lives, and it'll be extracted from their estate, whatever is left. Anyway, so the other thing is that the grand jury can actually identify those whose actions have caused harm and indict them for a trial, that these people be tried for these crimes. So in other words, the grand jury can not only identify that these people are ineligible and must be removed, they can also identify those whose actions have actually caused harm and have them indicted as well. These juries must also declare, and this is the most important part, obviously, because it's about republic review. These juries must also declare that it is the duty of the state legislatures to call for republic review in auditing the Constitution and getting the federal government back into check. Because bottom line, as long as we have the federal government telling us that we have to, you know, abide by their tyrannical EPA, energy, education, healthcare, and all of these other unconstitutional powers they have usurped, then we're going to be constantly fighting the stupid battle of unconstitutional government when we don't need to. In other words, it is your state legislators' responsibility to act and to take care of these things. Okay? So this is how we get to what some people would call critical, and I'm using quotes, air quotes here, critical mass. Because as we start having these First Amendment petitions going, you know, viral, every day of the week, every red-blooded patriot needs to be signing and petitioning government for all of these crimes that our politicians are committing. That we want to make them tired of the fact, and this will push them to the point to say, well, you know what? We're getting rid of your First Amendment right. We're taking this away from you. And in so doing, we actually force them to play their hand, and this is how we actually get rid of them. Because we are now creating this, what we call critical mass. To be clear, the targets are not only the Democrats, they are independents and Republicans, all who have violated their oath of office. Now, to be clear, I tell you all the time that you need to be involved in the political process. You need to be going to your Republican party. And see, I do say Republican because, you know, Bob doesn't want these petitions to be party or political, quote unquote. But I'm telling you that the Democrats do not care about the Constitution. That's why, you know, until the Democrats change their tune and say, we need to get rid of the party system, but the only group that would probably be amicable to going down this path, kind of like what happened with Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, those three presidencies, that those 24 years, they literally changed and got rid of the Federalist Party became nothing in Monroe's reelection. It was a unanimous, except for one elector did not vote for Monroe because he didn't want Monroe to have a unanimous decision like George Washington did. He felt that that privilege should only be recognized for our first president. And I think that attitude actually, you know, spoke poorly of that individual, because I believe if we have that kind of a leader, that, okay, and I do recognize that Monroe is not a Washington. Monroe did make mistakes. Washington made some mistakes, but he didn't violate the Constitution with this concept of the Missouri Compromise. But anyway, let me get back to what we're really talking about in critical mass and how we want to target all politicians, Republicans, and so forth. If we want to clean up, we have to take over the party. And the one party that we have to take over, because this is where you're going to find the like-minded people that want to invoke the changes necessary to start embracing the Constitution. Our process has to be focused on the Republican Party. As I've said, we are out to actually obliterate the party system, because it is the parties that divide us. That's the whole concept of division and factions. A party is a faction. What we need to be doing is we need to be embracing the Constitution. Unfortunately, even the Constitution Party doesn't embrace. I mean, their candidate is not calling for republic review. Their candidate is not, you know, calling for the solutions and the actions. They're moderates as well. They're willing to make compromises. There is no compromise when it comes down to the Constitution. This is where people have made this huge mistake that thinks that the Constitution is political. It's not. It's the supreme law of the land. It is the contract that the states have all bought into, and they have to, and we, the people, have to enforce the Constitution. I've been approached. Now, I just want to take this next approach here to let you know, because this is very insightful. I have been approached by a few legislators who are afraid that they have and or might in the future violate the Constitution. These are good people, my friends, and they are afraid to get behind such, and if you want to call it a scorched earth paradigm, Section 3, there's no latitude, right? I mean, if you look at Section 3, hey, you violate the Constitution, you're gone. So these guys are kind of afraid because, hey, you know, they don't know if they're going to violate it. They don't want to be held accountable. So what I told them and what I tell all state legislators and what needs to happen is every state legislative body needs to have a resource. You can call it the Office on the Constitution. You can call it your constitutional counseling, where these people are providing both education as well as insights that, you know, this type of law would be a violation of the Constitution if it's coming from the federal government. If you support money, if you pay taxes for these things, that's unconstitutional. If you're receiving money for roads or for any of these types of things, that's unconstitutional. So the state legislatures now have this, it's almost like an indemnifier. They have this immunity from prosecution because all they have to do is go to this resident office that profoundly understands the terms and definitions of the contract and be able to basically say, hey, that judge decision is wrong. He needs to be removed, or they need to be removed. And this is where we actually, through knowledge, remember we say knowledge is power? It doesn't become power until we act upon it. And so now that we start acting upon the knowledge that we have, we now have the ability and opportunity to start correcting the course of this nation. So anyway, When we come back, we'll be getting into a little bit more regarding literacy on the Constitution and so forth. So please stay tuned. We've got a lot of content. We will get into marketing, but probably not today. God bless.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so where was I? So I was just telling you what I've been telling these legislators, that all they have to do is just create an office and give that position to a person or two or three people. One person who is a scholar on the Constitution, and when I say a scholar, then I told these people I will help them create the criteria and the job description of what these people need to do. I also told these people, just to be clear, that no one in this office should be a lawyer. They shouldn't have zero, understanding regarding the bar or anything else, because the bar is the problem. They're a big part of the problem. They're not the only problem. But back to this whole concept of these offices and setting up this resource for the state legislators, these offices need to work, they can and should work, across the state lines so that everybody is sharing the same information. Remember, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And so once all of these offices amongst the states actually start going through all of these different debates, then we can actually start ferreting through if there are any conflicts within the ratification base. Because I'm telling you right now, I've seen zero. If there are, they're over really minute little details that really don't amount to anything other than the fact that there's this nuance between one little thing and another. But when it comes to the limited definitions and jurisdiction of the government, they all agree that it's an enumerated constitution. The federal government has no authority to do anything outside those parameters or those limitations in the Constitution. So anyway, so these offices can, one, start educating each other and creating what we would just say common knowledge, so that everybody starts to understand, well, this is it. These are the terms and definitions of the Constitution. In addition, these offices should be working together in concert to pound out the curriculum for educating all, from, you know, elementary all the way up to state legislators. I have said this before. Legislators should have qualifiers. We can't have religious tests, but we should have standards for our legislators. And I believe that they need to at least pass a test that they understand the Constitution. Heck, they have to take an oath to support it, so they better know what they're supporting. Doesn't that make sense? Anyway, folks, this is what happens when a nation becomes so illiterate regarding their constitution and their government framework, because that's exactly what our constitution is. It's our government framework. This is why we in America are being led around like a bull is led around by his nose ring. We are a slave to the progressives because they're the ones that are telling us everything and what we need to do. And they're the ones telling, this is how all of these unconstitutional laws are being created in the first place. These agents, these progressive agents, pumping the Agenda 21 into our legislative laws and system, all of this is unconstitutional. And I'm telling you that they are doing this, and we've been bamboozled and convinced that, oh, well, I guess they can do this. I will have to let them do this because we have no other argument against it, right? And actually we do. We have the Constitution and we have all the tools that I've been telling you. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does not allow them to write laws that are unconstitutional, ex post facto laws, bills of attainder, and so forth. So, as I have been telling you, and I've been telling you, this is not difficult. This is not rocket science. It is fundamental contract law. We do need to get wrapped around the axle regarding case law and the webbing of precedents, because the Constitution does not allow for these things to dictate our laws. It's either in the contract or it is not. And if it's not in the contract and you want to do something different, like you want to give the federal government the ability to have a jurisdiction over marriage, you got to amend the Constitution. And folks, I'm red in the face here yelling. Do not give them these powers. Let's leave them in the box that the framers have created. That's where they can do the least amount of damage. And letting the states have all the liberties and the freedoms, period. So, as we move forward, we want to actually start getting into, you know, all of these other things. But what I want to do at this point, because before I run out of time, if I have glossed over anything, if you would like more details or info regarding the First Amendment petitions, let me know by sending me an email, or even common law grand juries. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, call our comment line, 425-270-5416. What we want to do is we want you to understand, this is like I know most people, and this is not uncommon. There's a lot of people that just, they get kind of confused because they just haven't spent the time to, you know, start connecting the dots. I'm telling you, it doesn't take long to connect the dots. If you have a fundamental understanding of contract law, what was agreed upon, then you can start understanding, wow, the importance of understanding the ratification of these, because that's where they defined and they set the terms of the contract. You have to do this, you have to, and then you can start actually using the ratification base like I am, in proving to you these are the terms, these are the definitions, this is how the government must behave. Madison even said, let it be very clear. Madison was the one that said, it doesn't matter what he thought or anybody thought. What matters is how the Constitution was sold to the states, because that is the only legal standing on what the Constitution means. He understood this concept of contract law. And we're finally at a point where I think it's almost like computers. Most everybody understands what a contract is. You got to read the details. You have to get into the fine print to understand, you know, what your liabilities are, so forth and so on. Anyway, as I said, we were going to get into marketing. Actually, I didn't say that earlier, but we wanted to get into marketing, and I want to actually get into, you know, what we call the need-to-know news and go into some of these obscure things that are happening, because this is the little opportunity I have to point out how bad things are, what the heck is really going on, and, you know, poke you in the eye to say, what is it going to take for you to actually engage, to send an email, to actually sign petitions, to start doing things? I am telling you, any good American, any person that loves America, wants to save our Constitution, should be working on their petitions every day. And if you don't have and you don't know how to, then the first thing you need to do tonight is send an email either to myself or go to We the People Foundation. Bob is the subject matter expert. He will help people. You just to let them know, hey, I want to petition our governor for this. And get the ball rolling. Get up off of your backside. And not that everybody's on their backside. I know everybody's trying to do something. But these are the actions that count. When we start getting organized and start demanding the exact same things, that they must comply to our Constitution, then we're going to start seeing results. Because when we start getting, like Bob calls it and others call it, critical mass, when we have that many people that are pounding their fists on, you know, on the table, on the doors, and shaking them in the air, saying, you must comply to the Constitution and your oath of office. And the Constitution says so, not me. And because you're not, you are gone. And fire all these people. Use the Donald Trump method. You're fired. And get rid of these jerks. Get rid of these people that are destroying us. They don't care. This is why I go through the scale of liberty. So we're going to go through the scale of liberty once we get through a little bit of marketing, just to go through all of the crap that's been going on from the tech companies who are fighting to overthrow our Constitution. All of these things that are happening. My friends, I am here to tell you that you have to get involved. You need to start getting other people to start tuning in and at least listening to this content and these messages. We are not pulling the punches. If you want to knock these jerks out of office, this is the process to do it. We have all of the power within your First Amendment petition, as well as your common law grand juries, and using your First Amendment petitions to even getting there. One of the things that we want to also tell you and teach you is what we call the third tool of the Constitution. I believe every red-blooded American wants to see an end to tyranny and are starving for the real solution. So get this out to your friends. And when we come back in our next episode, we're going to go through the third tool. We're going to basically kind of spell it out for you. You need to have some difficult conversations coming up. And I know people tend to, you know, recoil when it comes to having that difficult conversation. It's time to adult up, whether you're man or woman, adult up and start having these conversations. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.